board over there. Agenda item 3 is the planning guidance for Waterloo, which Nigel Hazelden will introduce. Nigel.
Thank you, Steve, and thanks everyone for turning up for these two items. With your permission, I'll just introduce both documents very briefly as a pair. And they're non-key decisions, but by bringing them to this cabinet, we're able to move to the 6-week statutory consultations that will then take place before the summer interlude, which I think is a big advantage. This is driven by the fact that the station's capacity, and as we all know, there's an increasing pressure on transport services and rail in particular, so improvements to the station are programmed. There are phases to this, which are in the report, firstly, the terminal will come back into use, and we lengthen to our carriages.
In terms of its updated so they've got an understanding and buy-in into the main thrust of the proposals. The final point that I would make is just to draw attention to the fact that the development stage of another development will bring about the sorts of wide-ranging benefits to the public realm and further afield, as Councillor Hazelden has drawn attention to. But it will also bring further contributions, section 6 contributions, to deal with maintenance and other issues of the public realm, public places. And just by way of illustration, you know, the 6 contributions that have been obtained, negotiated successfully in the past are making over 5 million contribution to the proposals for the rejuvenation of Jubilee Gardens, the Lower Marsh scheme, and the provision of much needed public toilets on the South Bank Centre.
Thank you very much. Are there any further comments on that, Liv?
Very quick point, really. I mean, I think it's going in the right direction, so thanks very much. I haven't got any comments on the actual substance of it. It was more picking up on Spig's point and having been involved in the first Waterloo SPD, and you highlighted the consensus that we managed to get from a lot of the groups. And in that vein, I was just surprised to see that none of the local ward councillors had commented on the report or cleared it, and I just wanted to check whether that was just an oversight on their part or whether it was some lack of consensus that was emerging.
Okay, thanks. Rachel?
Thank you. I just wanted to mention under the Chapter 8 around implementation is a section on community safety and visitor management, and I appreciate that this is in its very broad stages at the moment, but I do hope that particular attention will be paid to issues around community safety. There are very special community safety needs and issues, I think, in the South Bank and Waterloo area. Be worked up very well in partnership with the appropriate people. And also, just to say I'm pleased to note that under point 0.0 it says that the public spaces should set up management arrangements, and they should also provide details of how the management is to be funded. Now, I obviously very much welcome the improvement of public realm and the creation of new public spaces within the borough. I think in the past we've experienced some problems, and that there is a slight issue with Windrush Square at the moment in terms of who is managing it and who is paying for that. And I think given the financial constraints under which we find ourselves, I'd certainly welcome attention being paid to that. Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. And finally, Paul.
Just a couple of points. Just pick up on section 106. Would you mind just repeating? It's a matter that's come up in another place in the scrutiny report about section 106, and I think the 5 million figures, what I remember. But I think we've got some of that in waiting literally in the bank around Jubilee Gardens, the South Bank toilets, and other regeneration things sitting there. What's the trigger that's needed to utilise that amount of funding to which this process helps? And my wider question is, many of us have been involved in many of these large-scale discussions, Waterloo Station, Elizabeth House, Shell, Jubilee Gardens, for quite a number of years, and as ever with these big, and my question probably is more, to be honest, directed to Sue Forster, which is what's the probability of this enabling the next stage in those big-scale projects, given the position of the economy, or will it be the economy and the pickup in the economy that'll drive those, and this is simply the blueprint against which those developments will take place? Just want to clarify what's driving it and what part this plays in it.
Thank you.
The first point in relation to ward councillors, they've been sent the documents, and a meeting has been offered, and that meeting is in the process of being arranged, so it's not a question of disharmony, it's just a question of timing. Certainly the points about community safety management of public realms on are noted, and it is an issue that we're very conscious of, and again as part of the public consultation we'll be particularly looking at how that is expressed how the whole issue of Section 106 is actually dealt with in this document. We're also updating our existing Section 106 supplementary planning document to take on board more fully those issues in the light of concerns that there exist, and to actually provide a sound basis for us to be able to go forward on that. In terms of the point about the triggers for the money that's waiting, it's really waiting for the projects to go forward. So in terms of Lower Marsh, which was the remaining one, there is a consultation that took place this weekend, and the money will be going forward once the schemes, the consultations finish, and once the scheme gets going. So there's nothing actually waiting, nothing that we need to do other than progression of that. With Jubilee Gardens, again, it's a question of going out to tender within the sort of timescale we've got for completion, which is intended by May of next year. And in terms of the public toilets, I believe we're waiting for the planning application for South Bank Centre. We've identified where we've got bank funding that could be lawfully allocated for those projects. And you asked Sue to deal with the other questions, so I'll refrain from comment on that.
Just on the issue about does this promote development or not, this is a tool that helps shape development opportunities. So the proper planning of the area is what this document provides for. But it also does provide certainty to development partners. And if it's well crafted, it ensures that it provides a viable opportunity, as well as being a supportive and pro-development set of policies. So although it doesn't bring forward development, it certainly helps the development sector from considering whether to invest in this part of London or not. It's also important that it's about consensus, because there are an awful lot of partners here, not just the private sector, but there are an awful lot of players, not least the community, as well as a range of partners and the private sector. So it needs to speak to all of us and come forward with a consensus of approach that we can all sign up to. So it's asking a lot of it, but if we get it right, it will help facilitate development coming forward.
Thanks very much. Nigel, any final comments?
No, just to reiterate that it is building momentum and impetus into the programme. So it's answering requirements, it's locking together hugely varying and competences and interests, and it is optimistic, I think, in structure, because of the reasons the directors have outlined. I think it's forward-looking and very helpful.
Okay, thank you for that. It's launching a consultation, so we'll have this back once we have the views of the community and partners and other stakeholders. So can we agree on recommendations? Thank you very much. I think that concludes our shortest ever cabinet meeting. So thank you very much, everyone.